Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we commit this time to you. We're so glad to be here in your house, Lord, and wherever two or more are gathered in your name, that you are there in the midst, and we're just blessed to be here. We're so thankful for the fellowship, the time to get together and just build each other up. Now we just pray for the ministry of your Spirit through the Word, and speak to our hearts, challenge us. Lord, encourage us. Where we need conviction, convict us. We just want to commit this time to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, well, I'm really excited about this book of Acts we're going through as we're looking at the continuing work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. And I just love this book because it's exciting. I like the story. I like to hear the story, but I like to hear the backstory too. How about you? You know, what's going on behind the scenes? What's the backstory here? And what we get in this book of Acts, we get not only the front story, but we get the backstory. How did it all start? One of my favorite movies of all time is Endless Summer. Go figure. But you know, Endless Summer is about two guys, Mike Heinzen and Robert August, that go on expedition, they go on safari, they go on this adventure. Only their goal is to they're searching for just waves that can be ridden everywhere. So they're trying to find the endless summer all over the globe, and they're going to places that, you know, they'd never surfed before, and they're actually surfing places that no one had ever surfed before. So it's a cool story, but all they get is waves. But in this story in Acts, it's about really the adventure of the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers. It's Jesus Christ impacting his followers through the Holy Spirit and leading them to reach more people for Christ and to live for Christ. Amen? And you know, and that's what we've been called to do as well. And that's what I love about this book. And it's such a great truth. As we get into it, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit not only energized their lives and their ministries, but the Holy Spirit will energize our lives and energize our ministries. And there's really three really epic events that take place in this second chapter of Acts. One is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Then we also see the first gospel message preached, of course, by Peter. And then we see the birth and the growth of the church. And now they're all interrelated because without the first, without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there would be no birth of the church. There would be no first gospel message preached. And I just pray that as we look at this portion of Scripture, that we'll not only look back and see what took place, but we'll also look forward and really think what can take place even in our own lives as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've entitled this study, The Holy Spirit, the Good News, and the Church. So let's start reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, this is amazing. It's dramatic. It's an incredible event. Jesus had instructed the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise. The promise was that they would be endued or clothed with power from on high. And Luke wrote on this too, and he recorded Jesus' words, that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them to be witnesses for Christ. That's what Luke said. You know, the word witness is the Greek word martyrs, where we get our word martyr. We get our word martyr. Of course, that means someone who bears witness of something till the death, until death. And quite a few of the disciples did exactly that. They bore witness of Christ even to the very end when they were killed for their faith. I believe God has called all of us not necessarily to die for him, but he certainly called us all to live for him. Amen? Amen. To live for him. You know, Jesus had also told the disciples before he ascended into heaven that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He had told them in the upper room that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. In John 15, 26, he says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you also will bear witness of me." So this was something that was spoken of at the very beginning and during Jesus' ministry. He let the believers know that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He was going to send the promise. In fact, John the Baptist, also spoke of this. You remember when John was out baptizing and people were coming to John? John was proclaiming that Christ was coming, the Messiah was coming. And people were coming and they were being baptized. Of course, they were being baptized with the baptism of repentance. They were coming and it was a precursor. And John was baptizing them, but he said, "But I'll baptize you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire." I love that. John was baptizing people with a baptism of repentance from sin and dead works to live for God. But he was telling them that they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And you know, last week, Adam talked about the Holy Spirit's MO, his modus operandi, you know, how he operates, and how the Holy Spirit is with us as believers, how the Holy Spirit is in us as believers. He dwells in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking tonight about how the Spirit was going to come upon the believers. So they gathered together, 120 of them. That's about, well, probably this side of the room right here. Let's just say 120. So they're in the upper room. Now, some people think, wow, maybe they weren't in the upper room. Maybe they were in the courtyard or in the temple. But it actually does say they were in the house. So I believe they were in the upper room. And I actually had a chance when I was over in Jerusalem to take a look. I didn't go in, but looked at the house and kind of looked up. They said this was the possible place, kind of a probable. I don't think they know for sure. But I think that, you know, definitely, you know, this group over here could fit in there. It would be a little bit cramped. But you know how it is, how Christians are when something's happened. It's like, just scoot over. I'm getting in. You know, they were probably all sitting in there. You know, they were all praying together. They were excited about their faith and what God was planning to do. And they were meeting there, and it was the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Now, up until this time, they didn't celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek word that means 50. 50. And basically, they were gathered that day, and it was on Pentecost, but what they were celebrating was the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Harvest. See, there were feasts that God had given to the Israelites to keep, feasts or festivals. They were remembrances of what Christ had done. For instance, Passover was one. You remember Passover when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt? And God was going to deliver them. And after 9 plagues and Pharaoh was hardening his heart, finally the 10th plague was that God was going to send a destroyer to destroy all the firstborn. But God also told them if they would take the lamb, a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb, and they would sacrifice the lamb and put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost of the house, that the destroyer would pass over. Well, that was a celebration that they celebrated. They also celebrated the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And they would partake of that right after Passover. Well, they're interesting enough, there was a feast or a festival that they celebrated, what was called the Feast of First Fruits. Now, the Feast of First Fruits was the day basically after Passover. And what they would do is they would take a feast of thanksgiving, and they would take a sheaf from the harvest, a sheaf of barley or a sheaf of wheat, and they would take it, and when they were offering their sacrifices, remember, they would offer sacrifices, a blood sacrifice. There was a type of Christ shedding his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So they would offer lambs or a bull, but they would take that sheaf offering, and they would wave the sheaf offering, just one. And it was a picture of thanksgiving, of here's the harvest. We know that this is from the Lord. This harvest is from the Lord. So they would take that one sheaf. But it was also a picture of a resurrection. Remember how the Bible talks about how a seed must fall into the ground and die so that it can reap a harvest? Well, it was a picture of the resurrection of Christ, one sheep, the first fruits. Now, it tells us actually in Corinthians, Paul references this. He says, and now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Paul references back to this first fruits. It's pretty cool. But check this out. 50 days later, they were to celebrate the Feast of Harvest. Now, this was when after they had basically brought in all the harvest. Now the harvest is brought in. This is 50 days later. This is on a Sunday, a day, 49 days plus one. 50 days later, they would celebrate the Feast of Harvest. And again, they would offer animal sacrifices, but they would take some, and it's found in Leviticus, if you want to check it out, Leviticus 22, you could read that. But it talks about how they offered this harvest to the Lord, the first fruits of the harvest. Very cool, because it was a picture of, well, the resurrection of believers. A picture of this harvest and how we're a part of that harvest. All of us are a part of the harvest because we wait for that day when we will be resurrected. Of course, we have to die first. And guys, we all are going to die. It's going to happen. But we'll be unless we're raptured. We could be raptured. But it talks about how they were celebrating. Really, it was the Feast of Harvest that they were celebrating. In the Greek, Pentecost, 50 days later. And John the Baptist said that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and with fire. And I love the thought of this, being baptized with fire. Because, as you know, fire is pretty important, huh, for survival, for one thing. I mean, you kind of have this picture in your mind, the first fire, you know, you've got the caricature of that caveman, you know, with the sticks, he's kind of knocking them together, trying to start some fire or some rocks or something like that. One of my shows that I watch on TV, I watch basically news. I'll watch a baseball game or a football game here or there, and then I'll watch Survivor. How many of you guys watch Survivor? I'm still hooked, I'm sorry. But one of the first thing they give these guys is, you know, they give them a flint, basically, so they can light fire. Now, if you lose your flint, which guys have done, how do you lose your flint? I mean, you got to have fire because fire is so important for so many things. First of all, think about this. Fire is important for light, right? Without fire, you don't have light. Where does light come from? Even a little incandescent light bulb has a little wire that's on fire in there. We need fire for light. It gives light. And Jesus told us in Matthew 5, 14 through 17, he says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and give it, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Man, we need the Holy Spirit in our life to even shine the light of Christ. Because we don't have light in and of ourselves. We're dark. We need God's Holy Spirit in us, illuminating, even to the world around us. We need the Holy Spirit who gives us light through fire. The Holy Spirit gives us heat. Fire gives heat, right? You're out on a cold night camping someplace. What's the first thing you want to do? Light a fire. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to send us the Comforter, that he would abide with us forever. The word Comforter means, if in the Greek, is parakletos, one who is called alongside for help. Now, the world can be a pretty cold place, huh? And I'll tell you what, I am so happy that God has given us his Holy Spirit who lights that fire in us to give us warmth. And he does that through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us to help. God doesn't intend you or me to live this Christian life apart from the Parakletos, apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from the Comforter. No. He wants the Holy Spirit to be in us and with us and right alongside us, the Comforter. I don't know how many times I've just left a situation where it just seemed like it's such a cold situation, maybe leaving a hospital where someone's dying. And you just feel so terrible. You know, you're praying, but you know it doesn't look good. Or maybe a funeral service, maybe someone doesn't even know the Lord. Or you see even a Christian who has passed away, but their family is mourning. And I was like, man, I want that warmth from God, from His Holy Spirit, to come alongside. And God promises that for each and every one of us. Fire is also the source of power. You guys know how an engine works. Pull out the spark plugs, where are you going? Not very far. Even that little spark that causes that big thing to move, it's all from fire. And in our lives, we need fire. I think a lot of times, we as believers, we kind of putt around a little bit. You know, we're like that little Mitsubishi. What is that little thing, the Miev or something like that? It's got like 65 horsepower. 65 horsepower, which is great if you're going downhill. But as soon as you hit a grade, that 65 horsepower, it's not that great. Because then you're going like 10 miles an hour and you've got the guy in the 500 horsepower, you know, the Mustang behind you coming up fast. No, God wants us to have the big dog horsepower, the 500 horsepower. You know, because we need that in our lives. If we're going to live for Him, we need the Holy Spirit. We need His power. We need His warmth. We need His light in our lives. And just like these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes and says, be filled with the Spirit. It's interesting that that word filled, Pastor Greg has talked about this, how it's even used in nautical terms as a wind filling a sail, filling a sail. And I don't know if you've ever been out on an SUP, you know, stand-up paddleboard. You know, you're out there and it's kind of like you start out and it's maybe that there's no chop, you know, there's no wind and you're just kind of paddling. It's like, this is cruise. This is so cool, so easy. You know, it's a good exercise if you guys are interested in working your abs a little bit. Get out there. But as soon as the wind kicks up and the chop starts, you know, going a little bit, then it starts getting miserable. And you're like, you know, you can't even keep your balance. And, you know, all of a sudden a sailboat goes by at 20 knots and you're like going backwards, you know. But in a sense, what the word is saying here is that we need to have the Holy Spirit filling our sails to live this Christian life. And a lot of times we're like that guy on the paddleboard with no juice at all because we're walking in the flesh. We're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives to live for Christ. You know, there was only one Pentecost. It was a unique event when the Holy Spirit came down with that rushing wind and those tongues of fire. And by the way, those tongues of fire, I don't know exactly what that was. I don't think anyone can really say, but I kind of think that you revert back and go, okay, well, maybe it was similar to the burning bush when God appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And the bush didn't burn. It wasn't consumed, but it was still on fire. So maybe it was similar to that, that this fire came upon the believers, these tongues of fire, these cloves of fire, and they just weren't burned, you know, and it was amazing. Now, this is, like I said, this is a unique experience. This isn't something that happens all the time. It's not like I'm standing around waiting for a clove of fire to light me up. It was a unique experience, and we don't need another Pentecost, even like we don't need another crucifixion. We don't need another resurrection. Christ has already been crucified. Christ has already risen. And the Holy Spirit has already been given to each and every one of us. But we need to be filled with His Spirit and continually filled. Listen to this. It says that they began to speak in tongues. And it says in verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. It's exciting because you think about this. Modern day, this covers Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Asia, Syria, Rome, part of Europe. And what's happening? You know, God has called us to go, right? Go ye therefore and make disciples. Here's an instance where the church was infiltrated with non-believers. So they were coming in. Something was happening. People were coming to see what was going on. And what did they see? Something miraculous. The believers were speaking in languages that they didn't even know. They were speaking in foreign languages. Like you started speaking in French. Maybe you know French, sorry. German, Russian, Arabic. I don't know. You know, all these languages, all the believers just started speaking in them. And they understood them. Those had all come in. They had all come in, and now they were hearing what? What were they hearing? They were hearing the wonderful works of God. That's what they were hearing. I'd like to hear it. I think it'd be great. I don't think English was around yet, but they were speaking it. You know, God has called us to go, and you know what? As a church, that's what we do, right? We go as the church. Our church goes. Our pastor goes. Our pastor goes to Australia, New Zealand, to Dallas, to New York, to Oregon. You know, we take these harvest crusades and we go and we preach the gospel. And it's a blessing because we're told to do that. But this was a unique thing happening here where the world was coming into the church because something was happening. Something special was happening. And you think about this, I believe not only should every believer be Spirit-filled, but I believe every church service should be Spirit-filled. Every church service. Think about this, guys. What do people experience when they come to church? When they walk into our doors? Are they hearing us talking about the wonderful works of God in our own language, English, okay? Do they hear that? Because I think sometimes we as believers, you know, we come to church and we come to church and we compare and we critique and sometimes we complain. We compare, we critique, and we complain. And what we should be doing, man, is we should be celebrating Jesus, celebrating the good works of God. And when we get together talking about what great things God is doing in our midst. And you know what? That's contagious for one thing, but it's also appealing to those who aren't believers. It's like they're walking into a church where it's like exciting. It's like, man, what, all these people are like stoked on God. This is pretty cool. Not just the pastor, but everybody else too. That's what it should be like. That's what our church services should be like. And that's what it will be like if we're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. They were praising God. News flash. If you're not in your life, if you are not speaking the wonderful works of God, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're walking around and all you can do is find something wrong with your wife, with your kids, with your job, with your, look at the mic's going out, you know, look, it's something's wrong there. And it's probably that you've allowed the world to creep in and quench the Spirit's working in your own life. But the beautiful thing about it is that God just says, you know, we can come to and says, Lord, oh, I've confessed it in my own life many times, many times. And say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to praise you. I want to worship you. I don't want to grumble. Because he's worthy of our praise. Can I share something with you guys that I found in my, this is personal, in my dad's desk. My dad went to be with the Lord a little over a year ago, unexpectedly. But I found this in his desk, and he had written out some praise to the Lord, and I was really blown away. I was like, God, thank you for letting me find this. And it was just with a Sharpie. It had written out real big. And he wrote out, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Psalms 103. The power in praising God. Praise begins with me. How can we bless God? Begin with gratitude. Bless God for who he is. Bless God for the Holy Spirit. Bless God for his character. Bless God in unity and diversity. Bless God in unity of your nature. Bless God with your true self. Bless God with all your faculties, your emotions, your heart, your mind, your conscience, your understanding, your knowledge, your wonder, your fears, your hopes, your uniqueness. Praise is necessary. Praise him fully. Wholehearted praise is beneficial. Praise promotes spiritual growth. Praise is becoming. Praise is good for others. Praise prepares us for heaven. All on a sheet of white paper with a Sharpie. I don't think my dad was ready to go to heaven when he wrote that, but he was prepared to go to heaven. He was prepared. Here's the thing. We all need to have a heart that's full of praise toward God. And we will when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Vance Havner said, "We're not going to move this world by criticism of it or conformity to it, but by the combustion within our lives ignited by the Holy Spirit." Amen. Isn't that powerful? Amen to that. God is so good. You know, one thing that we learn from this passage, that tongues are not messages from God to man. They are really man speaking the good things of God, praising God, worshiping God. Can you hear me? Is it popping? All right, we're going here. Let's go ahead and start and read in verse 12, and we're going to wrap it up here. "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' And others mocking said, 'They were full of new wine.' The whole thing was so amazing, the only thing they could do, all they could do was come up with, 'They're drunk.'" Can you believe that? Something great goes on, God does something amazing, and what does the world say? "Oh, them Christians, they must be drunk." Have you guys been with drunk people before? I have. They don't speak in foreign languages. They have a hard time with the language they know. It's like, "I love you, brother." Right? They don't get smarter, they get dumber. But people want to explain away when God does something miraculous. You know, God does a healing. "Oh, it was coincidence." I have a neighbor, Irene, who was diagnosed with cancer, and then she had a big thing they need to take out of her. And she's a prayer warrior. She started praying. And I can't believe it. She, like, passed this thing somehow. I didn't really like the story she was telling me, but but she was talking about the good works of God. And she actually went in for the surgery, and the doctors found just a little, it was like nothing. And this was supposed to be like a major, major surgery. And she just was praying over it, and it was like, "Oh, that was a coincidence." No. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit working healing. You know, God does something big. The world wants to explain it away. I think about the testimonies of people like Billy Graham or Louis Zamperini, how the Holy Spirit worked in their lives, these powerful testimonies of lives lived so well. There's a guy named Michael Cardone who, when he was 20 years old, started this business in Philadelphia, and this Cardone, A1 Cardone, helped. They kind of came alongside us when we did our Philadelphia crusade. He was 18 years old. He started a business as a kid. He would take windshield wiper pumps out of the old cars, and he wanted to remanufacture them. And he started remanufacturing these windshield wiper pumps. And he had a hard time even finding a part store that would take them and sell them, you know. And finally he found one, and this was a long time ago. Anyways, he started this, and he was a Christian, and God blessed him. He became, he's passed away now, but his company, A1 Cardone, is one of the biggest remanufacturers of car parts on the planet. He has, years ago, he has 19 factories now and like over 1,500 employees. But he actually set up, he hired chaplains to come in and minister to all the people that spoke foreign languages that worked in his plants to preach the gospel to him. He had like chapel services in his warehouses for the people, and he still does.
He's actually
in the Automotive Hall of Fame with Ferrari and all those guys, AJ Foyt, and he's it's just a testimony of God's Holy Spirit. Here's the point. Now I'm not even going to get to the message. We'll get to that later. But here's the point. This is what I'm going to close with. The Holy Spirit in our life, when we have the Holy Spirit filling our lives, will have such an impact in that we will have the attitude of praise in our hearts. We will have the power of God to live the life that Christ has called us to live. Not only in church, but in our homes, with our wives, with our kids, in our workplaces, with our neighbors. This is the power that God has made available to us by the giving of His Holy Spirit, by the filling of His Holy Spirit. And I think for us, what we need to do continually is do that check in our own lives. Man, am I seeing the impact of God in my life? Or am I just grumbling along on my 65 horsepower? Oh, man. And what do? We go to the Lord, we confess, and we ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Amen? Let's do that now before we break into our groups. Heavenly Father, we love You. And Lord, we're here because we love You. And we're here because we want to grow in our faith. And Lord, we want our lives to be impacting. We want to be impacting in our relationships with our wives, with our kids, with our friends, with our neighbors. Lord, we pray right now that You would fill us with our Holy Spirit, with Your Holy Spirit. We don't want to be a lackluster church. We want to be a church that takes the message out, but we also want to be a church that has great things happening in the church. And when people come to church, they know that they have been with You because Your presence is here with Your people. So we thank You. We ask Your blessing upon our time, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.